The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. And Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. But the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to reflect on the Eucharist, since it is so central to our belief and our religious identity and our religious practice. In some ways, it is so central, it has become at times controversial, and it certainly was controversial way back in the time of the Reformation in the 16th century. But ever since, even in modern times, the notion of the Eucharist, its understanding and access to the Eucharist has become somewhat controversial. Much conversation surrounds this issue, so let me reflect with you for a few moments on it. I would like to begin with a few moments of reflection on the Gospel, this text coming from chapter 6 in John, and then perhaps look at the person of Jesus revealed in the Eucharist. Then we look at, very briefly, a theology of the Eucharist, and finally, who qualifies? Who qualifies to receive the Eucharist? And who decides who is to receive the Eucharist? Who decides who has access to the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Let me look at this for a few moments. This is the only miracle which appears in all four Gospels. And in John, he calls it a sign. And here in chapter 6, which is our text today, you have the theology of Eucharist in the Gospel of John. Since at the Last Supper, John does not have Jesus taking bread and taking wine, not in the Gospel of John. And therefore, chapter 6, the text of today's Gospel, is the Eucharistic statement and understanding in the Gospel of John. And here, the multitude is fed. Who qualifies to be fed by Jesus in this miracle? Those who were hungry. Those who were hungry were fed. And each one received enough to be satisfied. Each one was different. Their needs were different. Their appetites were different. Their wants were different. And yet, each one received sufficiently to make the person satisfied. This is important. Every line in John's gospel is important. And they have 12 baskets left over, which is an indication of the abundance of the miracle, the abundance of God's love, the extraordinary generosity of the miracle in which Jesus feeds the multitude. He's very specific here in his homily, which he gives after the miracle. He says, "This is the true bread, my flesh and my blood." It's not a metaphor. This is true bread. This is my flesh and my blood. So much so that the gospel, read on in this text in John 6, and you'll find out, it says, many were confused and no longer walked with Jesus. The miracle was so overwhelming, the notion of Jesus giving his body and his blood for the life of the world was so overwhelming and so beyond the grasp of many who were there that the gospel says many walked away. And Peter turns to him and Jesus says, "Will you also walk away?" And Peter says, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So it's very specific here that Jesus is speaking in a very literal, transparent way about the Eucharist. Now let me look at the imaging of Jesus in the Gospels. The icon of Jesus in all four Gospels, the revelation of Jesus, he is a friend of sinners. Only those who are fully human meet Jesus. When you have time, read chapter 4 in the Gospel of John. You have the woman, the Samaritan woman, five times married, living with a man who is not her husband, and Jesus is gentle and caring and welcomes her in conversation. Chapter 8 in John's Gospel, you'll find the woman taken in adultery. Jesus does not condemn this woman. Chapter 23 in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do, what they do." And then he receives Dismas, the thief, into eternal glory. "This day you will be with me in paradise." You can see that only those who are fully human really meet the person of Jesus. He is the friend of sinners. There's a marvelous text in the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel where Jesus goes to Jericho, and he meets this man who is a thief. He is abhorred in his society. He's an outcast. And Jesus says, "I'm going to have a meal at your house tonight." And he welcomes Jesus, and he goes through a conversion because of the friendship of Jesus. Now, if you have a friend who is an Orthodox Jew, that person may have coffee with you, that's fine. But if that person invites you into their home for a meal, into their little sanctuary, the Mikdat Me'ash, that's a sign of friendship. Meals are always a sign of friendship in a Semitic culture. Eugene Leverdier, the scripture scholar, has a book, Meals in the Kingdom, and he identifies 11 meals in the Gospel of Luke. So the icon of Jesus is he is a friend of sinners. Keep that in mind when we begin to reflect on the Eucharist. Now let me talk a little bit about the theology of the Eucharist. When I was first ordained, on this day, 56 years ago, Father Dennis and I were ordained priests on June 14th, 1964. And when we were ordained, the Mass was different than it is today. Some of the elders may remember this. We had our back to the people. We're up here. There was an altar rail there. And I would turn around and say, "The Lord be with you." But I'd say it in Latin, "Dominus vobiscum." Nobody said anything. Only the altar servers knew et cum spiritu tuo. Sursum corda, gratia gamus Domini Deo nostro. People didn't know they were witnessing the sacrifice of the Mass. We called it the sacrifice of the Mass. We emphasized sacrifice. And then comes the Second Vatican Council 50 years ago. And in the renewal of the liturgy, they began to speak about the meal. So we took away the altar rails and we invited people into the sanctuary, which was formerly the Holy of Holies. And they came and we have laypersons proclaiming the word. We have Eucharistic ministers. We have full participation of the laity. It's a meal. We began to emphasize the notion of Eucharist as a meal. Unfortunately, at times, we forgot that it's a sacrificial meal. It's not just a meal, it's a sacrificial meal. And we share in a meal of sacrifice. That's very important. That's the miracle. The miracle is Jesus takes ordinary bread, and the wine which we use at Mass is from a screw top. It's a cheap wine, just very ordinary. That's me. That's you. We're ordinary. Jesus takes us, blesses us. We are broken in the Eucharist, and we are shared. Now, Augustine says, behold who you are and become what you receive. You become Eucharist. You just don't receive the Eucharist. You become the bread which is broken and the blood which is poured out. So you become living Eucharist. Jesus feeds the world through you. You join in the pain and the struggle of the day. You belong to the social injustice of the day. You are a voice, and you are a flesh, and you are a sacrifice, and you are the blood that belongs to the community to which we belong. Jesus feeds the world through living Eucharist in me and in you. We become forgiving people. We become understanding people. We become people who are belonging to a broken world. And the miracle is, we will feed the world as a Eucharistic people. We'll carry the pain and the struggles of our people. We'll carry the burdens of our family. We'll carry the misunderstandings with kindness and with caring and with patience, because we are living Eucharist. That's what it means to be living Eucharist. And only those who are ordinary bread and ordinary wine. We speak about people who are human. Human is very attractive. Or we speak about people who are inhuman, inhumane, not so attractive. It's the human ones that meet the person of Jesus, to carry the pain that transform the world. Eucharistic people are called to belong, to share, to enrich, to enliven, to share new life with the world. That's what it means to be Eucharist. I know in my own life, the times when I met the fullness of Jesus Christ, but the times when I was in darkness and I was confused, when I was discouraged, lonely, empty, unsure of the future, when all the pains of life fell upon me, and in a new way I turned to the Lord and I found a hospitality in Jesus. It was the welcoming of Jesus that revealed to me the meaning of the Eucharist. The hospitality of Jesus transforms us. Judgment, fear, recrimination doesn't transform you. It diminishes you. It's the love of Jesus and the hospitality and the welcome of Jesus that transforms us. That's what it means to be Eucharist. So who qualifies? Who qualifies for the Eucharist? Those who are hungry, those who are lost, those who are broken and seeking a new life. Look at the Last Supper. Jesus is surrounded by humanity. He knows already that Peter will deny him. He already knows that Judas has made a pact to betray him. And yet, he shares the Eucharist with them. I once asked Raymond Brown, why would Jesus share the Eucharist with such broken humanity? And he said, Jesus never, ever gives up on anybody. Your transformation doesn't happen before the Eucharist. Your transformation happens in the experience of Eucharist. So you don't come to Eucharist as a perfect person. Sinless. You come to Eucharist as a human, broken person, and it's the power of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist that lifts you up and gives you new life. Pope Francis says, Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect. Eucharist is medicine for those who are struggling in life. It's food for the journey. So who decides? Who qualifies for the Eucharist? Paul Tillich, the distinguished Protestant theologian, in his mammoth work on systematic theology, offers us this insight. He says there are three levels of consciousness. The first one is what he calls heteronomy. Nomos, nomos in Greek means the way. Heteronomos, the way of another. And this is a level of consciousness. Heteronomy means a submission to an outside authority, an uncritical submission to an outside authority. Whether that be the church, the government, it could be parents, it could be your boss, an uncritical, absolute submission to an outside authority. Heteronomy. Not good, says he. It's an underdeveloped personality. It's an adolescent thing that has never grown into the fullness of the person. The second one is autonomy, autonomos, which is the humanist of the 18th century. Said, I'll make up my own mind, I don't need anybody. And this tends to promote a certain ego, and therefore it is not ideal. The third one is theonomy, theos nomos, which means I live in the presence of God. That's what theonomy means. I live in the presence of God. I am close to the Lord. So I decide in the presence of God who goes to the Eucharist. In the maturity of my faith, in the presence of the living God, in the power of Jesus Christ, the friend of the sinners, in the power of Jesus Christ who welcomed all who were at the Last Supper to share the Eucharist, I will be transformed in the power of this Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So, do you feel confident about this? Well, read the scriptures. Read the life of Christ. Find yourself. You are there in the life of Christ. Look at the Gospels. And you will find yourself called, taken, you will find yourself blessed. You will find yourself broken. And there you will find yourself shared. And when you find that, you will be living Eucharist. You will be transformed. You will be changed. Eucharist will change you. It's not just an exercise. You will become the Eucharist which you receive. We're hungering now for the Eucharist because we don't have the communal sharing in the sacrifice and the meal. And yet, there's a spiritual call. We are disciples bonded in Jesus Christ through the Eucharist, even though for a period we don't have access to sharing the sacrificial meal. We are a Eucharistic people. How do you live the Eucharist today? Look around you. See the pain, the struggle, the yearning of people. See the need for understanding, for patience, for forgiveness. See the need to allow myself to be broken, to allow me to be broken, my opinions, my prejudice, my judgment about others, my exclusion of others. Allow myself to be broken. And only when I am broken can I be shared. The bread which is not broken is a bread which is not shared. So, celebrate your humanity. God is present to you. In all your humanity, you are holy. Remember, you are taken, you're blessed, you're broken, and you're shared for the life of the world. After 56 years as a priest, it is more relevant to me today than ever before to be a Eucharistic person. Amen.